You're listening to an African Elements top news story for January 8, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why Rikers Island reform fails and the civil rights fight ahead. The latest legal battle at Rikers Island highlights a long history of institutional failure. A detainee recently filed a civil rights lawsuit against the city. This individual claims that jail guards committed acts of abuse during his time in custody. Such allegations are not new to the facility. However, this case adds intense pressure to the ongoing fight for jail reform. The New York Amsterdam News reported that these claims support the argument for a federal takeover of the complex. This potential shift in control represents a massive turning point for New York City. Reform advocates argue that the Department of Correction cannot manage itself. They point to decades of violence and mismanagement as evidence. The current legal system uses a principle called the presumption of competence. This means courts usually assume a local government can run its own agencies. However, many experts believe the city has lost this presumption through years of failure. This lawsuit serves as another brick in the wall of evidence against the current administration. It shows that even under federal monitoring, safety remains a distant goal for many detainees. To understand the current crisis, one must look back at the origins of the island. The land takes its name from the Riker family, who were early settlers. Richard Riker served as the city recorder in the early 19th century. He was a powerful figure in the New York legal system. History reveals a deeply troubling legacy associated with his name. Riker was a leading member of what locals called the Kidnapping Club. This group used the legal system to target black residents. The Kidnapping Club exploited the Fugitive Slave Act to bypass due process. Riker and his associates would capture free black New Yorkers and claim they were escaped slaves. They held rushed hearings where the accused could not testify in their own defense. Riker would quickly issue certificates that allowed these individuals to be sent into slavery in the South. This history shows that the legal system on the island was built on racial injustice. The current issues at Rikers are part of a much older story of state-sanctioned violence against black bodies. Understanding this past is a key part of New York's bold move toward reparations and historical healing. Before Rikers Island became the main jail, the city used Blackwell's Island. Today, that location is known as Roosevelt Island. In 1932, the city opened the new Rikers facility as a modern replacement. Officials promised it would be a more humane and efficient environment. However, these promises quickly faded as the jail faced immediate criticism. Within its first decade, oversight groups labeled the conditions as cruel and inhumane. The isolation of the island made oversight difficult for the public and the courts. The facility evolved into what many call a penal colony. It was detached from the rest of the city and its legal safeguards. This isolation allowed a culture of violence to take root among the staff and the population. Over time, the jail became a symbol of systemic neglect rather than a place of rehabilitation. The layout of the island and its aging infrastructure contributed to the danger. Even in the early 20th century, the facility struggled with overcrowding and a lack of resources. This history created a foundation of dysfunction that persists into the modern era. The modern era of reform began with a major lawsuit in 2011. This class action suit is known as Nunez versus City of New York. The plaintiffs alleged that guards used excessive force as a regular practice. The evidence showed a pattern of staff attacking detainees without provocation. In 2015, the city entered into a consent judgment to resolve these claims. A consent judgment is a legally binding agreement overseen by a judge. It serves as a roadmap for reform that the city must follow. The court appointed an independent monitor to track the progress of these reforms. Steve J. Martin, a veteran penologist, took on this role. His job is to evaluate whether the city is meeting safety standards. Unfortunately, his reports have documented a consistent failure to improve. He has noted that the pace of reform is glacially slow. This legal framework was intended to end the culture of violence. Instead, it has revealed how deeply the problems are embedded in the Department of Correction. This shift highlights the broader shift from civil rights to mass incarceration in urban policy. Behind the legal filings are the lives of real people. Caliph Browder is perhaps the most famous face of the Rikers crisis. He was a teenager when he was arrested for allegedly stealing a backpack. He spent 3 years at Rikers without ever going to trial. Browder spent much of that time in solitary confinement. The psychological toll was devastating for the young man. Although the charges were eventually dropped, the damage was already done. His suicide in 2015 sparked a national conversation about the jail. Browder's story became a rallying cry for the Close Rikers movement. It highlighted how the bail system punishes people for being poor. Most people at Rikers are detainees who are legally innocent. They are waiting for their day in court because they cannot afford bail. Cases like his show that the short-term nature of jail is often a lie. People spend years in a dangerous environment without a conviction. This reality reflects the historical ways the Civil War failed to end slavery by allowing new forms of bondage to emerge. The numbers at Rikers paint a picture of a system in freefall. In 2021 and 2022, death rates reached their highest levels in over 20 years. 19 people died in or just after leaving city custody in 2022. These are not just numbers, they represent a total failure of the duty to protect. Violence within the walls has also skyrocketed. Stabbings and slashings have more than quadrupled since 2016. This increase occurred even as the number of detainees decreased over time. The financial cost of this failure is staggering. It costs over $500,000 to house one person for a year at Rikers. This is the highest per capita cost in the entire country. Surprisingly, the jail has plenty of staff on paper. There is roughly one staff member for every person detained. This ratio is much higher than the national average. Yet, high rates of absenteeism and sick leave mean the jail remains understaffed on the ground. The city is spending record amounts of money for a system that is becoming more dangerous. The term federal receivership is now at the center of the reform debate. A receivership is an extreme legal remedy used by courts. It happens when a judge decides a local government cannot fix a broken agency. The judge strips the city of its control and appoints a neutral third party to run things. This person is called a receiver. The receiver has the power to ignore local rules and labor contracts. They report directly to the federal judge instead of the mayor. Many advocates see this as the only way to save lives. They believe the current Department of Correction leadership is unwilling to change. However, receivership is often called the nuclear option. It is a rare move that violates the usual respect for local government autonomy. Even if a receiver takes over, the city must still pay for the jail. The receiver acts as the boss, but the taxpayers provide the budget. This legal battle is reaching a tipping point as the city faces more lawsuits and monitor reports. In late 2024, the legal pressure reached a new high. Federal Judge Laura Taylor Swain held New York City in contempt of court. A contempt ruling means the party has intentionally disobeyed a court order. The judge found that the city violated 18 separate provisions of the safety mandates. She noted that violence levels were worse than they were back in 2015. This was a stinging rebuke to the current administration. The judge also accused the city of acting in bad faith. She stated that officials withheld important information from the federal monitor. This lack of transparency makes it impossible for the court to ensure safety. A contempt finding is often the final step before a full receivership. It shows that the court has lost patience with the city's promises. The city argued that they were making progress, but the data suggested otherwise. This ruling changed the dynamic of the reform fight from cooperation to confrontation. The crisis at Rikers is also a crisis of racial justice. Approximately 90% of the people held on the island are Black or Latinx. Black New Yorkers make up about 24% of the general population. However, they account for nearly 60% of the jail population. These numbers show a massive disparity in how the law is applied. Advocates argue that these stats reflect systemic bias in policing and bail decisions. For many in the Black community, Rikers is a modern-day extension of historical oppression. It is a place where young men are held without trial and subjected to violence. This demographic reality is why the Amsterdam News focuses so heavily on the story. The conditions at the jail disproportionately harm black families and neighborhoods. This situation is a reminder of how post-Civil War Reconstruction failed African Americans in the legal sphere. The fight for reform is not just about safety, it is about racial equity. In 2019, the city passed a law to close the Rikers complex by August 2027. The plan involves building four smaller jails in different boroughs. These borough-based jails are designed to be more modern and humane. They would be located closer to courts and families in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx. The goal is to speed up the legal process and help people maintain connections to their communities. This move is intended to break the isolation that allows abuse to thrive. However, the 2027 deadline is now in serious jeopardy. Mayor Eric Adams has stated that the plan was flawed from the start. He points to a rising jail population that exceeds the capacity of the new buildings. Current projections suggest the new jails will not be ready until 2029 or later. This delay means people will remain at Rikers for several more years. The struggle to lower the jail population is the biggest obstacle to closure. Without major changes to the justice system, the city may miss its legal deadline entirely. The role of the federal monitor is critical in this ongoing drama. Steve J. Martin is a penologist, which means he studies how prisons are managed. He looks at things like staffing, jail design, and disciplinary rules. His team conducts on-site inspections and interviews with detainees and staff. They provide the court with an objective view of what is happening inside. Without the monitor, much of the violence at Rikers would remain hidden from the public. Martin has pushed for a model called direct supervision. This model encourages officers to interact more positively with detainees. It is designed to reduce tension and prevent conflicts before they start. However, he has reported that the city has failed to implement these changes. Instead, the jail relies on old methods that often lead to more violence. The monitor's frustration has been a major factor in the judge's decision to consider receivership. His expertise provides the legal weight needed to challenge the city's management. The death of Charisma Jones in July 2024 added more fuel to the reform fire. She was only 23 years old when she died in custody. Reporting by the Amsterdam News suggests that she was denied necessary medical care. Her family claims that staff ignored her pleas for help as her condition worsened. This tragic case highlights the lack of basic health services within the facility. It is another example of why individual civil rights suits are so important. Each new lawsuit serves as evidence of a systemic failure to provide for human needs. When the city cannot guarantee medical care, it loses its moral and legal authority. These stories of neglect resonate deeply with the public. They show that the danger at Rikers is not just from physical violence. It also comes from a lack of compassion and professional standards. The death of Charisma Jones reminds us that the stakes are life and death for those held on the island. The New York Amsterdam News has played a vital role in documenting these abuses. Founded in 1909, it is one of the oldest black-owned newspapers in the country. It has a long history of fighting for civil rights and social justice. The paper gives a voice to those who are often ignored by mainstream media. Its reporting on Rikers Island focuses on the dignity and respect owed to all human beings. This perspective is essential for understanding the racial dimensions of the crisis. Historically, the paper published the words of leaders like Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Today, it continues that legacy by holding city officials accountable. The Amsterdam News frames the receivership debate as a human rights issue. It highlights how the legal system has failed the black community for generations. By covering individual lawsuits, the paper keeps the pressure on the city to make real changes. It remains a powerful tool for advocacy and truth in a complex political landscape. The civil rights suit filed by a Rikers detainee is more than just a legal document. It is a symptom of a century-long struggle for justice on a secluded island. From the dark days of the kidnapping club to the current contempt rulings, the history of Rikers is one of systemic failure. The pressure for a federal takeover continues to grow as the city misses its own reform targets. Each report of abuse and each death in custody makes the case for receivership stronger. Copyright, African Elements.